welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. And that debt is fraud. And let me just simplify this need for prayer. If you believe in prayer, don't forget to pray. Because he, from leaving the Garden of Eden, he has consistently told man to petition him. Ask and ye shall receive, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. Something like that. Right? I'm just paraphrasing. Anyway, what we want to do today, what I want to do, since it's Monday, and we were talking about this little thing called, creating a movement and diving into that. And we're going to get into that. But before we do, what I want to do is I want to cover an interesting concept or topic that kind of came up as a dominating paradigm in relationship to what happened. Sorry, I'm a little bit distracted. I'm trying to get some things all situated so I get the show done and on the road. Anyway, forgive me. So what we want to do is we want to cover a discussion that came up in our Friday call regarding what was going on in North Carolina. And so I don't spend a lot of time going through the news. I know that it's going to get bad. It's going to get really bad. Because it's one thing when Mother Nature, you know, surprises us with, you know, floodings and storms and those types of things. I mean, the earthquakes, those things are a natural occurrence. But it's been pointed out that what we're seeing today, weather-wise, fire-wise, all of these things kind of allude to government intervention. And, you know, it's really hard to fathom. It really is hard to fathom this, you know, concept that our government is doing things to us. But, here, folks, I'm here to tell you, I've been telling you that that's what they are doing. And so what I did after having this conversation, because it kind of weighed on me that I'm not necessarily covering this, not that I don't care. I believe the content is far more important. I believe that it's only going to get worse. That's why I keep telling you it's now or never. That debt is fraud. I mean, I tell you, just quit worrying about the problem. If you finally recognize that this problem is not going to go away, then we need to take deliberate action. We need to interpose and actually seize control. And we can't do that. You know, like a fly hitting the windshield on the freeway. We're not stopping that car. It's going to take a cloud of flies to stop that car. You know, and I'm not basically saying that this is going to be, you know, an ultimate death for everybody. Not at all. I honestly believe it goes down that path of if we act in faith, I believe he'll bless us and he'll protect us. I believe that we'll be able to do things that you just can't imagine being done. I never imagined that we would have public servants in office actually stepping up and saying, well, we want to do this in a blue state. If it can happen here, it can definitely happen where you are. People just need to start understanding these fundamentals. And I don't have time to teach everybody. And the amount of time and effort it takes to kind of do all of that. I need you. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. I say that every day. So one of the things I did, because I was tipped off that, oh, you know what? There's all these different patents. The U.S. patents have all these patents regarding different weather. Why is it that the U.S. Patent Office is protecting patents on very specific weather mechanisms, controls, and so forth? So what I want to do, first off, because this is all geoengineering, right? In geoengineering, this is where we expose how the government is doing things to mess with our climate and weather. And, well, they're not doing that. Come on, that's a conspiracy. Those chemtrails, that's all a conspiracy. We'll get into that, too, in a minute. So when we look at these patents, I got 7 patents. I need to put these up on the source page because I want you to see these things. There are actually 7 patents that I have found that actually have direct links to controlling weather and conditions. This first one is a patent that basically covers the method of artificially influencing the weather. Wow. The next one is a hurricane and tornado control device. Now, these patents already started a long time ago. 1962 was the method of artificially influencing the weather. In 2001, hurricane and tornado control devices. In 2012, September 11th, 2012, how's that one? Method for decreasing the intensity and frequency of tropical storms or hurricanes. Now, if they have the method of decreasing them, that means that they can also increase them. Just keep in mind, you know, things when you develop something to turn something down, you also can just reverse that and turn things up. The next one is February 12th, 2013, an apparatus and method for inhibiting the formation of tropical cyclones. And again, if they can limit them or inhibit them, then they can also produce them. They won't tell you that. But anyway, the next one is the method to influence the direction of travel of hurricanes. That was in July 11th. Another one, 2013, a few years back. The next one is June 18th, 2020, and it's a helical, artificial generator of tornado, hurricane, yellow dust, and typhoon. Huh. Now they have this ability to actually generate these things. Now, the next one was October 8th, 2020, propagating sound through bodies of water to generate and direct wind for the purpose of moderating and affecting weather patterns. Now, that's all just patents that they've got, right? That is patents that are directly related to weather. But that's not what we have regarding chemtrails. Now, chemtrails is one of those really hot conspiracy things. You look up chemtrails on the internet, and you're going to go to a bunch of naysaying sites and say, well, this doesn't exist. Now, I actually have downloaded the pages that were used by NASA and the University of Washington for TarFox back in the 1990s. If you go to TarFox, you look for TarFox, you will not find it. You'll actually have to go to the archives.com or archives.org, I think, where they archived all of those pages. They give you the life and history and all of that and all the changes to it and so forth. So, interestingly enough, when I started sending emails out and I put links to TarFox in 2023, TarFox was still there, still existing. And we sent this out to state legislators saying, look, they are conducting warfare tactics. Look at these chemtrails. This is geoengineering. This is warfare tactics. And so what ended up happening after January 2023, all of a sudden TarFox got taken down. The website was certified as being archived. And when you go to, if you do a Google search for TarFox or what DuckDuckGo, whatever, and it'll say, oh, well, here's the NASA TarFox page. You go there, and what it'll do is it actually has a redirect that sends you to a government archiving site. And they basically say, we've archived all of this, you know, because it's become so old. You don't need to know about it anymore. Why keep it up? And I'm going, well, that's interesting. In other words, they're trying to bury it. And they said, oh, well, if you're still interested in it, you can go into our archives because they're putting everything into archives that they don't want you to see. And so I went into archives. I started capturing that stuff. And then I realized that archive.org actually has the full site again. I mean, they still had the site. So what we're probably going to do is try to provide you the direct link to the archive.org. I would recommend you join archive.org if you want to get copies of books and documents. And as a matter of fact, archive.org is a great service because they give you books that are out of print. Why is it that the government is coming around and actually prohibiting archive.org from being able to provide hundreds of thousands of books that are out of print? Why? I mean, what's the problem? Is it violating some patent? No, it's not. Remember, we talked about patents when we're covering the Constitution right now, right? And we've already covered this. And we've covered this to where a patent, original patents were 14 years. For a short period of time, the government shall have the power to create these limited patents to protect and promote inventions and so forth. The fact that they're allowing longer, I mean, Eric Clapton shot the sheriff, and he still has a copyright on that and collects every penny he possibly can out of that song, even though it's well over 14 years old. Now, I understand when it comes to real intellectual material, you know, it's good to get paid for that and so forth, but to expect a long-term windfall and, you know, to be able to say, I don't have enough money, I need to make more money off of all of my songs. Because, I mean, come on, is Eric one step into poverty? I don't get it, but let me get back to chemtrails. As we start looking at the chemtrails and this whole dialogue, I find it really interesting that a long, long time ago, they decided to be the deniers. And those who were doing the chemtrails basically says, we will just deny that we're doing this. And then Tar Fox proved that they actually did the research to do it. To go, well, hold on here. This is where you researched and you actually did tropospheric spraying and all these different levels of the atmosphere spraying and prevailing wind tests and all these things. So you did all of this work to do this, but you're telling me that you're not doing that anymore. Is that what you're saying? Now, yeah, they're basically saying, well, yeah, we're not doing that. We never did, or, well, we did it when you catch them. They said, well, we did it then, but we're not doing it now. Now, here's the thing. I don't know where they can actually change the physics in our atmosphere, or maybe because we reached a certain point in time that our physics, the physics of our atmosphere has literally changed. Because there's physics involved in all of this, especially when we're talking about the difference between a contrail and a chemtrail. In other words, a contrail is a reaction of the water in the air as it goes through or by and over the wings of an aircraft. Now, what happens is it creates this disturbance, and it creates this little cloud formation, like a little trail. It's called a contrail. And that contrail dissipates within a matter of minutes afterwards. Once it all settles down, you know, within 2 minutes, it's gone. But we don't see that anymore. We see now, all of a sudden, the physics have changed to where this water, as the airplane passes through the air, and creates this contrail. These become permanent contrails to not only where they don't dissipate, but they actually propagate and they start creating these weird cloud formations. I mean, have you ever seen the checkerboard cloud formations today? I mean, isn't nature great? The physics have changed to a point where it's almost like an artistic tapestry above our heads. Isn't nature beautiful? Isn't that, you know, just neat? So, putting the sarcasm aside, the whole point I'm trying to make here is that things haven't changed. And as a matter of fact, go watch the Blue Angels. Go watch the Thunderbirds. Go watch any military air show. And you'll see how the contrail that they create, injecting water and vapors into the air, they use red, blue, I mean white. They actually add a color in the water so that it creates a color in the contrail. So when you look at that and you go, you know, there's something that they're doing to make that happen, right? In other words, that's just not a contrail. They're actually changing the color of how we see that contrail. It's red or blue or white. So if they're doing that, and that what they're doing, because we know that there's some chemicals in that water creating that dye, right? And even in that particular case, those contrails actually disappear within a few minutes. Right? They go away. You don't see them lingering into clouds. So there's definitely something different going on way up there, considering those things aren't going away. And as a matter of fact, when you actually look, if you live in an area like I do, and you're watching the skies and you see an airplane come along, and you can see it's got a contrail, there's a contrail going. And then all of a sudden that contrail gets really thick. And then as that plane traverses overhead, and you're watching that and you go, huh, the contrail disappeared, but that thick contrail that all of a sudden appeared, it started occurring with this thickness, all of a sudden that becomes permanent. Why is it that, you know, right there in space, there is a contrail that dissipates, and then there's a contrail that becomes permanent? What's going on? How are they defying the laws of physics to do this? I mean, come on. Do they believe we're that stupid? And, you know, when you read these things and they want to placate you and they want to downplay all of this, it just infuriates me. Because when people can't be honest, then it's hard to find common ground. Because when you've got a denier, a hardcore, obfuscator, somebody that is literally trying to hide the truth, then what's the point? I mean, some people just feel like, you know, we just got to grab these people and just throw them away because they are a huge part of the problem. They're not being honest. I mean, get them into a rational debate and say, okay, so in this condition, why did all of a sudden the physics change where that contrail disappeared and this contrail stayed and it magically formed into clouds? How did that happen? What physics occurred or what was injected into our atmosphere? It's one of the two things. You either tell me that you have a magical, you know, device that can change the physics. The laws of physics, that you've just changed something up there, or you've injected something up there. And so that's how we have to address this to get on top of this. But one of the things that I actually pulled in as well is I pulled in the ingredients for chemtrails, the chemtrail ingredients. And so this is just in an alphabetical order, and you can get this on, I think it's geoengineering.org. But this is what they're finding in these chemtrails. Aluminum oxide particles, arsenic. Arsenic, well, that's good, right? As long as it's not too much of it. Basilic and molds, barium salts, barium titanates, cadmium, calcium, chromium, discordant human red blood cells, ethanol dibromide. Yeah, I'm gonna really butcher some of these names. Enterobacter cloacal, Enterobacteria cry, or whatever. Human white blood cells, a restrictor enzyme used in the research lab to snip and combine DNA. Lead. Wait, well, lead's good, right? Mercury, methanol, aluminum. Mold spores, mycoplasm, nano aluminum coated fiberglass, nitrogen trifluoride, known as chaff, nickel polymer fibers, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, something like that, Fluorescein, radioactive cesium, radioactive thorium, selenium. I mean, this is a long list. And what we're talking about are metals and just bad things. Why are they putting this crap in the air? Well, I think that they're trying to do two things. They're trying to, one, affect the global temperature, as well as for a cooling down, right? So they're going to cool down the earth. As well as, you know that these things are harmful. It's going to kill living organisms. Mercury, lead, I mean, come on. Silvers, sharp titanium shards, strontium, unidentified bacteria, uranium, and yellow fungal myconates. And I'm skipping over a bunch of things that are really hard to pronounce. And I'm just here to tell you, folks, that they're not doing this because they're there making your life better. At the beginning of the show, I told you that I wrote an article. Actually, it was an email to the state legislatures of the United States. And I basically laid out the proof and the argument that our own government, our own federal government, the government that is supposed to be serving the states and protecting our sovereignty, has been waging warfare against the people in the states for years. And they're getting away with this. And as a matter of fact, there's some states that are trying to, you know, take a stand, but they're not doing what they need to be doing. They need to interpose. And we need to interpose. We need to actually start standing up and saying, you don't have the authority to do that. And as a matter of fact, this goes down that path because we talked about this in our conversations, in our mentoring meetings that you could be a part of. If you want to be a part of these things for your state, you want to be one that says, yeah, let's get going in my state. And you start help organizing these. We'll create a state call for you. And we can start having the conversation because bottom line, as we start looking and helping you develop, you know, an organization and start actually leading the people in understanding, we have to actually demand that the federal government cease and desist. They don't have the authorities. And we cover the processes of what it takes to get rid of them. In going through the Constitution, upcoming this tomorrow, we're actually going to be covering Article 4. And in Article 4, we cover the process of how the states can actually charge their congressmen and send them home and replace them. We have the authority in that Constitution to do these things. Don't tell me the good divine hand of Providence, our good creator, didn't understand what we would need, and he gave it to us in that Constitution. All we have to do is exercise it. It is the most powerful weapon we have against unconstitutional government. That simple. So as we kind of look at this grand scale of geoengineering, right, and we start, you know, identifying the problems of du jour, the problems of the day, let's put it into context with South Carolina. Now, before we do this, before I do this, and as a matter of fact, just let me point out that this stuff that I just gave you, these weather patents and the ingredients that are going into chemtrails, you know, we have a petition that's covering geoengineering. And the impetus for this petition was both the CO2 pipeline, the capture pipeline, as well as chemtrails. But now we have to add to this geoengineering for weather and climate control designs, equipment, and technology. Because bottom line, we have told you about these different patents, right? The 8 or 13, whatever it was. And we've told you, you know, the types of patents that it has in designing and controlling weather patterns. Now what we want to do is we want to actually get into what happened in North Carolina. And it's, the only reason I'm covering this, folks, is to help you understand that it is not going to get better. They're proving that they have the ability to make it really bad. We'll be right back after this. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. You know, I think anybody can play the fool, and I think anybody has the potential of being a fool. Yours truly was a fool. I mean, I'll give you a case in point. When we were getting ready to move thousands of miles, and we were preparing, and so there were some things that I needed to move, so I took one of our cars and packed it up with all of the material that the movers would not move. Gasoline, you know, insecticide sprays, really toxic stuff. Stuff that you just wouldn't want to keep, you know, in your presence. But I had to move it because there was just a lot of money in all of those types of control devices or chemicals and what have you. So as I was driving, I had to go through the pass and everything else. And the car that I had was in great shape. It had good tires, so at least what I thought was good tires. And I noticed as I was driving, all of a sudden, when I was going through the Grapevine, Southern California, it's a mountain pass and really windy roads, I noticed that all of a sudden my tires started shaking. And I noticed that they got really bad shaking when I was going at a certain speed. I slowed down, and so I thought it was an alignment. And I go, well, okay. And then it started getting worse at slower speeds. And I go, well, I'm going to have to slow down. And and I go, well, okay. So I just slowed down. By the time I got to Sacramento, I go, you know, I was really planning on driving 70-plus miles an hour, 80 miles an hour. And I was barely making it to 70 because of the shaking. So I stopped and tried to get into a dealership to say, hey, can you take a look at my front end tires? Do I need alignment? What do I need? And they were too busy. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to slow down because, you know, I was doing this over the weekend so I could drop the stuff off and fly back home. And so anyway, as I continued on and I was going up into the Siskiyou passes heading up into Redding, and I go, oh my gosh, you know, this is really getting bad. And as I was driving, starting to approach the Siskiyous, I mean, I was literally 12 miles away, and Redding, I was just going through Redding, and these nice people in a brown Toyota honked, and they was pointing at me, and hey, and they pointed out, they said, your tires are falling apart. And I go, what? And so I instantly took the first exit because I'm not that foolish, right? I was ignoring something that I didn't understand what was going on. And I didn't take the time because for me, I was really focused on trying to make good time. Needless to say, I wasn't able to make good time because this was a Saturday. And by the time I got to Redding, all the tire places were closed. And I'm going, oh, crap. And guess what? Tire places are closed on Sundays, too. And Redding being, you know, a thriving metropolis, which it's not, I was really stuck in Redding for a whole day. But when I stopped and I pulled over, I looked, and my entire tire, almost all the way around, was split on all four of my car wheels, or car tires. And I go, oh, my gosh. Had I continued and tried to get through those mountains, I know when I would have hit one of those curves with the weight or what have you, those tires would have gone out on me. And this was the year where there were a lot of Redding fires already. Had I lost control and went off the road, I would have just went up in a beautiful, colorful, flaming smoke and, you know, glory. And I go, oh my, you know, here's one of those situations where the divine hand of providence grabbed my attention, said, you better slow down and stop. So anybody can easily be caught as a fool. Anybody can ignore things, ignore the warning signs, what have you. I'm here to tell you the warning signs are so evident. These are not coincidences that are happening. What we are seeing and what we're seeing, the application being done in what we saw in North Carolina, that was not natural. I don't have any hardcore evidence. I am just telling you that was not natural. We're seeing these supernatural weather events, Dubai and what have you. What is causing this? Again, these patents in being able to control weather patterns and so forth, and actually feeding energy into the clouds, seeding clouds. All, you know, I didn't even give you this cloud seeding technology that's probably patented as well. But the fact of the matter is, folks, it is not going to get better. The days of it getting worse are among us, and they're going to happen more and more and faster for both you and I. What we've got to do is we've got to step in, and we've actually got to start interposing. We have to demand that our local government start protecting us. This is why the counties matter most. You need to read that article, Why Counties Matter Most. But let me cover or go in a little bit further into this geoengineering as well as what happened in North Carolina. Now, I know this. I know that FEMA is unconstitutional. I mean, it goes along with all of the other things. It's unconstitutional. And I remember, if everybody else remembers, the Katrina fiasco, where George W. Bush was getting harangued by not deploying FEMA. By the law, FEMA does not get deployed into a state and into an area unless the state governor calls for them to come in. Now, when they come in, they're there to come in and assist. But actually, what they're there now to do, and they've assumed this, and they've had this real gentle, cooperative way under the Bush administration of coming in and actually being a part of the solution or trying to help, bringing lots of dollars and doing lots of things. And look at how well people were treated in this situation under Katrina, a very large problem. Now, when we look at what's happened in North Carolina, there's no doubt in my mind that what we're seeing is tyranny. Excuse me. We clearly see how FEMA is playing games. I mean, I saw the tweets with Elon Musk basically saying, you know, because Buttigieg was saying, hey, there's a lot of bad misinformation that we're not letting people in. We're doing everything we can to get everybody in there as fast as possible. Musk replied, I've got a helicopter with medical food and so forth that we need to get in there, and we're being denied access. And then, you know, Buttigieg replied, you know, just give me a call. And Elon Musk goes, give me your phone number. Because it's right there on Twitter, and he's not sharing his phone number. But he's saying, well, give me a call. Come on. Come on, really? When we see how everything's been playing out, and when we actually see, well, you know, why was FEMA underneath Buttigieg? I mean, he's the director or the secretary of the Department of Transportation. That's a different office. FEMA is a completely different structure. Why is he playing in this game? As a matter of fact, some of the reports is just absolutely jaw-dropping, mind-numbing, stupid, and I just inhumane, I guess is the best way. Apparently, there were like 50 semis, 18-wheelers, that had food, supplies, and necessities for the good people in North Carolina. And as they were stopped at one point, you know, either getting waylaid for getting gas, rest, or what have you, all their tires were slashed. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I wouldn't put it past them. There are people that are so weaponized that want to see people suffer and die because the ends justify the means. They want to make it so the government takes more control. Now, this being an election year, and this being one of those most critical election years that we have, because we really have to choose the lesser of two evils. I've been on record for saying, if you're a billionaire, you don't deserve trust, because you're in a club that is very well guarded, and they won't let you in that club unless you do your share. In other words, every billionaire I've seen, I have yet to see a good billionaire. Foster Freeze, he was a billionaire. He passed away not too long ago. Foster Freeze was really a conservative guy. But actually, he wasn't. Wasn't conservative at all. Supposedly, he cared. Supposedly, he was a practicing Christian. But he was actually supporting organizations that are being used to undermine or actually make ineffective processes, ineffective organizations, so that they won't fix the problem. So the two organizations that I know he was contributing heavily to was Turning Point USA and the Convention of States. And I'm here to tell you, both of those organizations, there are great people in those organizations, great people. But those organizations, their hands are deliberately tied in a way that they are unable to truly lead us out of this mess. They cannot and will not be involved in the interposition solution, period. They won't do it. It's just like all of the rest of these people that, you know, money is more important than solving the problem. And that is an indictment. That in itself is an indictment. So when we look at what happened in North Carolina and the direct energy weapons or whatever they deployed to do what they did. As a matter of fact, I hope there's a really good documentary on the attack of North Carolina through technology, the technology attack on North Carolina. Because if that happens, then somebody can actually create a great documentary of how everything went down, how town was wiped out, and how people suffered, and how, you know, things aren't what they appear. Now, one of the things that I need to add is, you know, they created kind of a list of things that really made their life better and the things that were absolutely useless and pointless. And money or cash was one of those things. They said, if you got cash, you're better off than most people, because everybody doesn't carry a lot of cash, and because they use their credit card, credit cards were worthless. No electricity, you can't buy anything. If you don't have cash, you can't buy it. See my point? If you don't have gasoline, you can't get around. If you're on electricity or something like that, if you have generators, that's great. If they're gas, when we're looking at what we need, food, those types of things, you got to start preparing, folks. I know that we keep losing sight, but we actually, if you don't have a plan, then you need to make the time and start putting it into everything you're doing, from your grocery shopping to your design of your home. I mean, start designing your home with fail safes, with, you know, what do I call failovers or redundancy. You know, do you have a water heater? Do you have a redundant water heater? Just in case, you know, one goes out, you have another one. If you have gasoline, or not gasoline, natural gas, do you also have propane? Many things, if you have a generator that runs on natural gas, most of those nowadays will actually switch over. You just have a switch, and it will run on propane. Do you have the propane tanks to run that thing? You need to have propane as well. So one of the things that you need to consider for your energy is to have both a natural gas hookup as well as reserves propane gas. Because if all of a sudden you can't even get natural gas because everything is down, you know, and if that happens, that's by design more than it is by accident. If everything is down, then at least you can function. You may not be able to function full time. You may only have whatever you have. If you have 1,000 gallons of propane, that can get you to operate an hour a day, you know, or maybe 2-3 hours a day for so many days. And then what? And so you have to have mechanisms of being able to, you know, cook food. Do you have a repository of wood, or do you have a repository of charcoal or some means of being able to cook? Because you're not surviving if you've got food you can't eat. Like if it's dehydrated and you need water. Well, if not, you're eating wood. You got to think smart. It doesn't take any effort to be the fool. You just got to ignore the warning signs and keep moving forward. But a smart person recognizes the warning signs, and a smart person actually heeds the proddings when they're given to you and said, you know what? I'm taking this seriously. We're living in the times where it is required that we take them seriously. You know, those words, the great and dreadful day of the Lord, doesn't mean that this is going to be the best ride, you know, the most enjoyable time for mankind. What it means is this is going to be the epitome of suffrage. Suffering, not suffrage is voting, but suffering. So we have to really start looking at what we're going to do and preserving for ourselves. But more importantly, if we want to reduce or minimize our government's ability to even seize us or make us more miserable, then we have to seize our government. This is why what we're doing is probably number one. There's things that you're going to go shopping. You're going to be working on your house. You're doing those types of things because you're spending time, whether mowing your lawn, you know, painting, whatever. Stop doing some of those things and start thinking out of the box of what do you need to do to make your home more sustainable and capable of keeping you dry, warm, and lighted throughout the day when you need light, throughout the night, I should say. Anyway, by doing these things, you will at least have less misery. Misery comes easy. Being in the Marine Corps, I learned that lesson from a major. It says, misery is a natural occurring thing when you're a Marine. And so you have to think and think out of the box to be able to go into a condition that will be miserable and make it less miserable. And so some of those things we thought of were, you know, little ingenious things that we would take to the field with us so that, you know, we weren't so miserable. And we've innovated, and you've learned. Lots of people have done lots of very interesting things. I'll give you one. So these cans of oxygen that when you spray on your keyboard and it cleans your keyboard, but when it does that, it releases a really cold, like nitrogen. Well, see, most people, they, you know, when you're deployed into a warm area, most people wouldn't have even thought that if you actually took that spray, sprayed your sleeping bag down, because if you've got a sleeping bag that's insulated, you can spray that, get that can nice and cold, and you just leave it all right inside that sleeping bag. It gets a little bit absorbed, but it makes that bag nice and cold. So that when you jump in that bag, if it's hot, it just helps you fall asleep a little bit easier. Another thing is just having a little bit of water on a sheet and just throwing the water on the sheet, so as it evaporates, it's cooling you off and you're going, little ways to make your life a little more comfortable so that you can get a better night's sleep, so that you can at least operate and function in a wartime environment. We're not at war. Well, at least we're not in traditional war. And figuring out what you can do and how you can make your life more comfortable will probably be the best money and time spent. At least you're thinking of preserving you and your family, because nobody's going to do it for you. And I can tell you that it's going to be bad enough, because the government's going to be going around trying to find out who are the who are hoarding and, taking their supplies or what have you. Don't think that that's not going to happen. So try to be, I don't want to say maniacal, but try to make sure that you're doing it under the radar, to where not everybody knows that you've got a lot of food. Anyway, going into petition 17, which is the geoengineering petition, it looks like we need to add the weather patents. It looks like we need to add the dew energies and those types of things, to include those types of ways that government is waging that type of warfare or using that type of technology against us. Because bottom line, we have to hold them fully accountable. And so it just made sense over the weekend as I thought about this, that I try to avoid this, but I wanted to place context to it. Because if there's ways we can put this into the petitions, we will. Because it's about holding people accountable. It's about literally calling people out for these atrocities and saying this should never have happened. And this only proves that our government is actually taking advantage and doing bad things in creating harm with the states and harm with their citizens, period. Not acceptable. We've got to end this. So as we go forward, because we started talking on Friday and creating a movement, one of the things that we need to do and we need to avoid is working in a bubble. We're going to find good people that are going to become, that are parts of these large convention of states organizations, John Birchers, all of these different organizations. They're really good people. I mean, all of these organizations have been caught up, and they've been caught up in this my side's better than your side type of thing. And that right there is a very destructive paradigm. Because when you're basically saying, well, at least we're doing the right thing, which that implies that nobody else is doing the right thing. And what that does is it is a very divisive tactic. What you need to say, what you need to counter when people say, well, we're doing the right thing, where you're going, so as to everybody else is all doing the wrong thing? Well, yeah, exactly. And go, well, don't you think that's divisive? That's not very objective. And it's not very mindful or demure. Anyway, I'm sorry. I know that that's a subtext to a TikToker. Anyway, forgive me for visiting that. But we have to stop working in silos, in bubbles, in think tanks, and in these sterile environments. We actually have to start being open and saying, well, let's all use the Constitution. Are you doing this with the Constitution? Well, no. Why can't you? If you can't do this, if you can't actually fulfill this part of the Constitution, like First Amendment petitions, then what's your problem? Why is it that you refuse to actually do something that was a protected right? It's in the Constitution for a reason. Get them to start challenging their paradigms. It's only when we challenge our paradigms that we can actually acknowledge that we're the problem. Right? It's kind of like, you know, the person that's over drinking, they have to realize that they have a problem. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people that know ways of helping people recognize that what they're doing is wrong, and they're really contributing to the problem. They're a part of the problem. So use those tactics, use those techniques to help people start realizing that, you know, you don't lose anything when you're using these petitions, when you're actually learning and holding people accountable. How are you losing anything? Oh, well, it's not what we do. No, it's what the Constitution gives us to do. It protects our ability to do this. They must have known a reason why they needed to protect this. Why is it you're not using it? And now we can actually start having more of an honest discussion. But what we need to do as we start, because bottom line, we need to diligently connect with others to grow our movement, right? Which means that we need to actually have open calls. We need to have open channels to where we can actually start cross-pollinating. I've had national calls before. I don't like having a call and, you know, making it available, taking the time and saying, this day's available. I don't want to have a call just to have a call. I don't want to have a meeting just to have a meeting. So when I try to create the time, I say, this is the day that we can all just set aside. And when there's a need for us to talk about, you know, the petitions, what have you, then let's meet. But, you know, try to keep this day open. And instead of having a standing call, because I value your time, I know that everybody's got things to do. And it seems like either you have a regular meeting that you, most of the time is just a waste of time, or we have really good effective meetings where everybody participates when it's necessary. But you can't have both, and it seems like the second one, or the latter, is the hardest to do. To actually have calls when necessary to get everybody on board. Because what happens is everybody, you know, okay, we'll do this. And then we wait 2-3 months. Or nobody calls and talks about what they're doing or their questions and say, let's have a meeting. I need some clarity. I need some talk or guidance on this type of thing, or this is what we're doing, or anything like that. There's no point in having meetings just because it's on the schedule. I mean, I used to know guys, they were hall crawlers, and they were just walking down the halls in the office or where I worked, you know, literally in between these conference rooms, looking in, oh, I know some people in there, and they'd just come in because they were just looking for a meeting so they could sit in. In other words, what they were doing was they were just trying to kill time and find something to charge to, because usually in the meeting, there's a charge number that you can charge your time to so you can account. Well, you know, hey, you can't charge this. You're not a part of this meeting. And it's just like, that's what people do, though. Why? I don't know. Well, what I do know is when we get back on Friday, we'll try to talk more about these mentoring meetings, how to start growing your group, the different tactics and so forth, because folks, we want you to actually start getting organized. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.